Jane Austen's Sense and Sensibility burst onto the literary scene in 1811, published anonymously as By a Lady. This groundbreaking novel launched the career of one of literature's most beloved authors, whose keen observations of human nature and social dynamics continue to resonate over two centuries later. Emma Thompson, who won an Oscar for her screenplay adaptation in 1995, called it a story about real people with real problems. The novel's exploration of emotional restraint versus passionate expression remains startlingly relevant in our own era of carefully curated social media personas contrasted with calls for authentic self-expression. Austen's work has influenced countless writers, from Virginia Woolf to J.K. Rowling, and maintains a special place in popular culture, featured in everything from The Simpsons to Taylor Swift lyrics. What makes this story of two sisters navigating love and heartbreak in Georgian England so enduringly powerful? Let's discover why this novel continues to captivate readers across generations. The novel opens with a profound tragedy, the death of Henry Dashwood, which dramatically alters the fortunes of his second wife and three daughters. Despite his heartfelt deathbed plea to his son John from a previous marriage to provide for his stepmother and half-sisters, John's manipulative wife Fanny gradually talks him out of giving them any significant assistance. Through subtle manipulation and calculated arguments about their own children's future needs, Fanny convinces John to reduce his intended support to mere occasional gifts. This forces the family to abandon their beloved ancestral home, Norland Park Estate, and relocate to a modest cottage in Devonshire provided by their distant relative, Sir John Middleton. The two eldest Dashwood sisters powerfully embody the contrasting approaches to life suggested by the novel's title. 19-year-old Eleanor possesses strength of understanding and coolness of judgment that allow her to govern her strong feelings with remarkable self-discipline. She represents sense, rationality, prudence, and self-control, often serving as the family's emotional anchor during turbulent times. Her careful consideration of others' feelings and circumstances makes her both a trusted confidant and a voice of reason. 17-year-old Marianne, equally intelligent but lacking moderation in emotions, represents sensibility, spontaneity, passion, and artistic temperament. She approaches life with unbridled enthusiasm, whether in her love of poetry, music, or romantic attachments. As Austen writes, Marianne's sorrows, her joys, could have no moderation, and she prides herself on this emotional authenticity. These contrasting personalities brilliantly reflect the Enlightenment debates on reason versus emotion that shaped Austen's era. Eleanor embodies the pragmatism necessary for survival in a society where women had limited options, maintaining dignity and composure even in the face of heartbreak. Meanwhile, Marianne represents the romantic ideals of authentic emotional expression and artistic sensibility, believing that true feelings should never be concealed. Yet Austen refuses to present either approach as wholly right or wrong. Instead, she demonstrates how each sister must learn from the other. Eleanor needs to express her feelings more openly, particularly in matters of the heart, while Marianne must temper her emotions with reason to avoid self-destruction. Their youngest sister, Margaret, at 13, though playing a minor role, serves as an important observer and occasional revealer of secrets. Her innocent disclosures often move the plot forward in unexpected ways, particularly regarding her sister's romantic interests. Their mother, Mrs. Dashwood, shares Marianne's romantic sensibilities and often encourages her daughter's emotional excesses, sometimes to Eleanor's dismay. This family dynamic creates a rich microcosm where different approaches to life's challenges can be tested and examined. Mrs. Dashwood's own tendency toward emotional indulgence often leaves Eleanor in the position of being the family's practical guardian, forcing her to mature beyond her years. The sisters' contrasting personalities and their evolution throughout the novel serve as a commentary on the necessity of finding balance between emotional authenticity and social pragmatism in Georgian society. Their journey demonstrates that both sense and sensibility have their place, but neither alone is sufficient for navigating the complexities of life and love.
The romantic entanglements of the Dashwood sisters form the novel's emotional core. Before leaving Norland, Eleanor forms an attachment to Edward Ferrars, Fanny's brother. Edward is neither handsome nor accomplished by society standards, but his amiable nature and genuine affection for Eleanor win her heart. Unlike his ambitious mother and sister who wish him distinguished in society, Edward prefers domestic comfort and quiet, qualities that resonate with Eleanor's own temperament. After relocating to Barton Cottage, the family meets new neighbors, including the boisterous Sir John Middleton, his reserved wife, Lady Middleton, her gossipy mother, Mrs. Jennings, and the grave, silent Colonel Brandon. Though 35, considered almost elderly by Marianne, Brandon is immediately drawn to Marianne's beauty and musical talent. Mrs. Jennings quickly decides Brandon is in love with Marianne and finds endless amusement in teasing them both about this supposed attachment. The arrival of the dashing John Willoughby transforms Marianne's life when he rescues her after she twists her ankle during a rainstorm. Handsome, charming, and sharing Marianne's passionate interests in music, poetry, and art, Willoughby seems the perfect romantic hero. Their relationship develops rapidly, with daily visits and intimate conversations that suggest a formal engagement, though none is announced. Marianne's unguarded emotions lead her to behave with a lack of propriety that concerns Eleanor, who believes in maintaining social decorum even while harboring deep feelings. Meanwhile, Eleanor faces her own heartbreak when she learns from Lucy Steele, a calculating, insincere young woman, that Lucy has been secretly engaged to Edward for 4 years. Bound by her promise of secrecy and determined to maintain her composure, Eleanor suffers in silence while continuing to interact with Lucy, who takes pleasure in reminding Eleanor of her claim on Edward. These romantic entanglements reveal how differently the sisters handle emotional pain. Marianne openly expresses her anguish when Willoughby suddenly departs for London, while Eleanor conceals her suffering about Edward's engagement, maintaining her responsibilities to family and society. Through these parallel love stories, Austen examines the costs and benefits of emotional restraint versus passionate expression.
Austen's novel sharply critiques a society where marriage represents the only path to security for women, and where financial considerations often outweigh affection. When Willoughby abruptly abandons Marianne to marry the wealthy Miss Grey, we learn that his extravagant lifestyle and consequent debts drove him to choose fortune over love. His wealthy relative, Mrs. Smith, had discovered his seduction and abandonment of Colonel Brandon's ward Eliza Williams, who bore his illegitimate child, and threatened to disinherit him unless he made amends, which he refused to do. Similarly, Edward Ferrars faces disinheritance when his mother discovers his engagement to the socially inferior Lucy Steele. Despite having no profession or independent income, Edward honorably refuses to break his engagement, even when his mother transfers his inheritance to his younger brother Robert. This decision demonstrates true integrity, though it results from an imprudent youthful promise made before he met and fell in love with Eleanor. The novel presents a society where appearances matter more than reality. The Middletons maintain a fashionable household without genuine taste or talent. Mrs. Ferrars values social position over her son's happiness. John and Fanny Dashwood justify their selfishness with empty talk of duty and propriety. Even Lucy Steele, who initially appears devoted to Edward despite his reduced circumstances, ultimately abandons him to marry his newly wealthy brother Robert, revealing her true mercenary nature. Against this backdrop of social hypocrisy, the genuine values of the Dashwood sisters shine more brightly. Though they have lost their comfortable position at Norland, they maintain their integrity and compassion. Eleanor continues to fulfill her family obligations despite her private heartbreak, while Marianne, for all her imprudence, never compromises her authentic feelings for social advantage.
Communication, both successful and failed, lies at the heart of Sense and Sensibility. The sisters represent contrasting communication styles that reflect broader social tensions of the era. Marianne believes in the unrestricted expression of feelings, often breaking social conventions with her passionate outbursts and unfiltered honesty, while Eleanor practices careful restraint and diplomatic consideration of her words. Their divergent approaches highlight how women in Austen's world had to master innuendo and disguised sentiments to navigate society effectively, particularly in matters of courtship and reputation. Theatricality permeates the novel through dramatic confusion, misrecognition, and staged scenes that reveal the performative nature of social interactions. Marianne, though naturally expressive, proves a terrible actress because she cannot maintain the social facade expected of her station. Her genuine emotions consistently break through any attempted pretense. In contrast, Eleanor must maintain a divided self, perfectly controlled externally while privately processing intense emotions, demonstrating the emotional labor required of women in polite society. The novel sharply critiques excessive talkativeness through characters like Mrs. Jennings, whose well-meaning but intrusive gossip directly impacts the sisters' lives, and Lady Middleton, whose shallow chatter represents the emptiness of much social discourse. Secrets function as powerful narrative engines throughout the work. Edward and Lucy's concealed engagement, Willoughby's hidden seduction of Eliza Williams, Colonel Brandon's past love for the first Eliza, and Eleanor's silent suffering over Edward. Each secret carries significant consequences that ripple through the characters' lives, creating cascading misunderstandings and emotional pain. Yet Austen carefully demonstrates how discretion sometimes serves a necessary social function. Eleanor's decision not to reveal Lucy's engagement protects Edward's honor, preserves her family's feelings, and maintains crucial social bonds that could be permanently damaged by premature disclosure. The novel reaches an emotional crescendo in the scene where Eleanor finally reveals to Marianne that she has known about Edward's engagement for months while maintaining her composure and fulfilling her social duties. This moment powerfully contrasts with Marianne's own behavior. She has been dramatically expressing her heartbreak over Willoughby through visible grief and social withdrawal. Marianne's shock at discovering her sister's strength and self-command marks a crucial turning point in her understanding of emotional expression versus restraint. This revelation forces her to recognize that deep feeling need not always manifest as dramatic display, and that emotional control can represent not the absence of feeling, but rather its mature management. The novel ultimately suggests that ideal communication lies somewhere between the sisters' initial extremes, neither in complete emotional transparency nor in total restraint, but in judicious expression tempered by social awareness and consideration for others' feelings. Marianne's near-fatal fever represents both the culmination of her excessive sensibility and the catalyst for her profound transformation. After Willoughby's cruel rejection in London, Marianne indulges in emotional suffering with an almost willful determination, refusing food and sleep while dwelling obsessively on her memories of their time together at Allenham. Her subsequent illness at Cleveland, brought on by imprudent solitary walks in wet weather despite warnings from both Eleanor and Colonel Brandon, brings her to death's door. This physical crisis perfectly parallels her emotional crisis, as her body's decline mirrors the destructive nature of her unchecked emotional extremes. During her slow recovery, Marianne undergoes a deep psychological transformation. She acknowledges her own folly in multiple aspects, encouraging Willoughby's intimate attentions without any formal engagement, sharing private correspondence without proper discretion, and, most destructively, indulging her grief with such abandon that she endangered her life and tormented her family. She resolves to emulate Eleanor's fortitude and self-command, finally recognizing that her sister's approach represents not emotional coldness, but remarkable strength of character. "My illness has made me think," she tells Eleanor in a pivotal conversation. "I considered the past.
I saw in my own behavior nothing but a series of imprudence towards myself and want of kindness to others. This confession marks her first real understanding of how her actions affect those around her. This transformation doesn't represent a complete rejection of Marianne's fundamental sensibility, but rather its maturation into wisdom. She retains her passionate nature and appreciation for beauty and romance, but learns to govern these impulses with reason and consideration for others. Her eventual marriage to Colonel Brandon, whom she had initially dismissed as too old and too sedate for romance, cruelly nicknaming him infirm, symbolizes her new appreciation for steady affection and moral worth over superficial charm and shared enthusiasms. The marriage represents not a compromise, but a deeper understanding of love's various forms. Marianne's illness catalyzes change in those around her as well. It brings Willoughby rushing to Cleveland in genuine remorse, leading to his confession to Eleanor about his true feelings for Marianne and the circumstances of his mercenary marriage to Miss Gray. It deepens Colonel Brandon's devotion and concern, proving the depth and constancy of his love through his tireless efforts to help during her illness. Most significantly, it serves as a wake-up call to Mrs. Dashwood, forcing her to recognize the dangers of encouraging excessive sensibility in her daughters. This realization leads her to support Marianne's more balanced approach to life after recovery, marking a shift in her own parenting philosophy from indulgence to guidance. The illness episode thus serves as both climax and turning point, transforming not just Marianne, but the entire emotional ecosystem of the novel. Through physical suffering, Marianne achieves emotional maturity, learning to balance feeling with judgment and passion with prudence. Financial insecurity serves as a powerful driving force throughout the novel, shaping characters' decisions and relationships in profound ways. The Dashwood women's dramatic fall from prosperity at Norland to near poverty at Barton Cottage illustrates the precarious position of genteel women in Regency society. Their annual income drops from a comfortable living to a mere £500, forcing them to adjust every aspect of their lifestyle, from their dining habits to their ability to maintain servants. This financial constraint shapes everything from their social interactions to their marriage prospects. The novel meticulously tracks the economic realities of its era. Edward's dependence on his mother's fortune of £30,000 demonstrates how even well-born young men could be financially constrained. Willoughby's situation proves particularly telling. His annual expenditure of £2,000 against an income of £600 leads to crushing debts, ultimately forcing him to abandon Marianne for the wealthy Miss Gray and her £50,000. These precise figures weren't merely background detail, but would have resonated deeply with Austen's contemporary readers who understood exactly what lifestyle each sum could support. When discussing what constitutes a competence, Marianne's declaration that £2,000 yearly represents the bare minimum for comfort reveals her somewhat luxurious expectations, while Eleanor's more practical assessment of £1,000 as adequate reflects her pragmatic nature. Edward and Eleanor's eventual combined income, his £2,000, her £1,000, plus the Delaford living's value of approximately £200 to £300 annually, represents a modest but respectable middle-class existence that would allow for a small household with two or three servants. Colonel Brandon's gift of the Delaford living to Edward carries multiple layers of significance. Beyond its monetary value, it represents moral validation of Edward's honorable behavior regarding Lucy Steele. The living's worth, both financial and symbolic, creates a web of obligation and gratitude that strengthens the novel's central relationships. This act of generosity demonstrates how financial support could create and cement social bonds in Regency society. The theme of economic power as a tool of control appears repeatedly. Mrs. Ferrars weaponizes her wealth, using disinheritance to punish Edward's defiance. Mrs. Smith similarly attempts to control Willoughby through financial pressure. Yet the novel suggests that such monetary manipulation ultimately fails to secure genuine happiness or loyalty. The Dashwood women, despite their reduced circumstances, create a more authentic and satisfying life at Barton than they had at wealthy Norland.
The theme of economic power as a tool of control appears repeatedly. Mrs. Ferrars weaponizes her wealth, using disinheritance to punish Edward's defiance. Mrs. Smith similarly attempts to control Willoughby through financial pressure. Yet the novel suggests that such monetary manipulation ultimately fails to secure genuine happiness or loyalty. The Dashwood women, despite their reduced circumstances, create a more authentic and satisfying life at Barton than they had at wealthy Norland. The theme of economic power as a tool of control appears repeatedly. Mrs. Ferrars weaponizes her wealth, using disinheritance to punish Edward's defiance. Mrs. Smith similarly attempts to control Willoughby through financial pressure. Yet the novel suggests that such monetary manipulation ultimately fails to secure genuine happiness or loyalty. The Dashwood women, despite their reduced circumstances, create a more authentic and satisfying life at Barton than they had at wealthy Norland. The novel's resolution suggests that true security emerges from a balance between financial stability and genuine emotional connections. Mrs. Jennings, despite her initial portrayal as a gossip, exemplifies this balance. Her financial independence allows her to express her natural generosity freely, hosting the Dashwood sisters and supporting various characters through difficult times. Through these various economic threads, Austen demonstrates that while money matters significantly, it must be coupled with genuine affection and moral integrity to create lasting happiness and security. Austen masterfully employs physical settings as mirrors of her characters' psychological and emotional landscapes. Norland Park, with its grand architecture and carefully manicured gardens, symbolizes not only the sisters' past prosperity, but also their emotional rootedness and family identity. The estate's loss represents more than material deprivation. It marks the end of their secure childhood and forces them into an uncertain future. The painful departure scene, with Marianne's tearful farewell to her favorite trees and walks, establishes early on how deeply the characters' emotions are tied to their physical surroundings. Barton Cottage, with its modest dimensions and rustic charm, initially appears as a disappointment to the sisters, particularly Marianne, who finds it lacking in romantic appeal. However, the cottage's transformation from an unwanted compromise to a beloved home parallels the sisters' personal growth. Its location in Devonshire opens up new social circles and possibilities, introducing them to both the Middletons and Colonel Brandon. The cottage's small rooms and intimate spaces foster closer family bonds and force the sisters to confront their changed circumstances directly. London emerges as a complex arena of social performance and emotional revelation. Its drawing rooms become stages where characters must navigate complex social codes and conceal their true feelings. For Marianne, the city becomes a place of crushing disillusionment as she witnesses Willoughby's public rejection. The contrast between London's artificial society and the natural settings the sisters prefer underscores the novel's themes about authenticity versus social performance. Marianne's relationship with landscape serves as a particularly revealing aspect of her character development. Her passionate response to nature, preferring dramatic cliffs, wild woods, and autumn leaves, mirrors her emotional extremes. Her dismissal of Edward's practical appreciation for well-maintained farms and comfortable houses foreshadows the conflict between romantic idealization and realistic contentment that runs throughout the novel. Her reckless walks at Cleveland, taken despite threatening weather and her weakened state, demonstrate how her emotional excess manifests in physically dangerous behavior. Delaford emerges as the novel's ideal setting, representing mature love and balanced judgment. Colonel Brandon's estate combines natural beauty with practical comfort, symbolizing the novel's advocacy for balance between sense and sensibility. The estate's architecture and grounds reflect Brandon's own character, dignified but not ostentatious, romantic but not wild. The arrangement of the parsonage and main house, allowing Eleanor and Marianne to live in close proximity while maintaining separate households, symbolizes the ideal resolution of the sisters' journey, maintaining their close bond while developing independent adult lives. The novel's final geographic arrangement serves as a moral map of the characters' fates. The virtuous characters find themselves appropriately placed in Delaford's harmonious environment, while those who failed moral tests face fitting consequences. Willoughby's magnificent but hollow life at Combe Magna, and the Farrars' shallow existence in London's social whirl. This careful placement reinforces Austen's message about the relationship between character, choice, and ultimate happiness. Jane Austen's first published novel continues to resonate with readers over two centuries after its publication because it addresses fundamental human questions. How should we balance emotion and reason? What constitutes true love versus infatuation? How can we maintain integrity in a society that often rewards manipulation? These questions remain as relevant today as they were in Regency England. The novel's psychological insight distinguishes it from mere romance or social comedy. Austen's precise delineation of character motivation, from Willoughby's self-justifications to Lucy's calculated maneuvers to Eleanor's stoic suffering, reveals a profound understanding of human nature. Her characters feel real because they contain contradictions and complexities that mirror our own experiences. Austen's subtle irony and social commentary also contribute to the novel's enduring appeal. She exposes the hypocrisy of characters like John and Fanny Dashwood without heavy-handed moralizing, instead letting their own words reveal their selfishness. She critiques the marriage market that forces women into financial dependence while acknowledging the practical necessities of securing one's future. This nuanced approach allows readers to draw their own conclusions about the society she portrays. Perhaps most significantly, Sense and Sensibility offers hope that personal growth is possible. Marianne learns to temper her excessive emotions without losing her essential passion. Eleanor finds that expressing feelings doesn't necessarily lead to loss of control. Even secondary characters like Mrs. Dashwood develop greater wisdom through their experiences. This message of possible transformation through self-awareness and effort speaks to readers of every era who struggle with their own imbalances of sense and sensibility. In our current age of social media performance, contrasted with calls for authentic self-expression, Austen's exploration of how to navigate between restraint and emotional honesty feels remarkably timely. We still grapple with questions of how much to reveal, when to speak, and when to remain silent, how to balance heart and head. In Eleanor and Marianne Dashwood, we find not just historical characters, but mirrors of our own continuing struggle to live with both sense and sensibility.